Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I want to welcome all of our viewers and listeners all across the country and the world, especially those on the Gulf Coast with Christian Television Network. Man, it's awesome to have all of just the viewers and anyone that listens just connect with us on Facebook and all the different types of media and Twitter and everything that's out there. Is just, man, it's hard to keep up with it, but I'll tell you, it's fun and it's great because we get a chance to interact and dialogue with you. Here to encourage you in today's program, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day. My goodness, we have so much to talk about today, and by the grace of God, we're going to cover as much as we can. But, you know, it's only been 7 days, day seven of Protective Edge, Israel's military campaign to defend herself, and defending herself she is doing. I mean, we have been getting all kind of alerts. We've mentioned before on VFN TV about the app that you can get that's available. And, of course, it's available on the Torch, and we'll make sure that that's highlighted for you, where you can download the app. It's called Red Alert Israel, and basically it was invented by a 13-year-old, and it alerts the Israelis, but also us, if you download it, to the rockets that are being launched into Israel.
Right.
During, you know, periods of the night or in the morning, you can hear 10, 20, 30. I mean, it just goes on constant. And on and on.
Yeah, it's constant.
And it gives us an opportunity to pray and have compassion every single time that those sirens and alerts go off. So we want to encourage you to download that. We're going to be talking quite a bit about what's happening in the news, what's happening with Hamas and how the media is reporting it, and Israel's response and words from Bibi himself as he appeared on major news networks to give an update as to what is happening with this offensive and really defensive positions that they're taking to protect themselves. Also, we're going to be talking about Exodus Cry. They are having an abolition summit, which is awesome. It's this August. If you have a chance to participate, by all means, please do. We're going to give you all the contact information. But Exodus Cry is a ministry that is birthed out of IHOP Kansas City.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And their whole purpose is to help educate the church and the world as to what's happening with sex trafficking and basically, you know, slaves. Mm-hmm. We have present-day slaves, children and women that are being abused. 1 million, mm-hmm. I believe that number is now, Steve, all across the world. And they put a movie together called Nefarious, a documentary that won all sorts of awards regarding, you know, the plight of these women and children. And now they're having a summit to continue, you know, some new films and new things and mm-hmm. new education, because obviously, you know, things are changing. But we want to bring that update to you as well. Also, I know that we're going to be covering some information regarding the Welsh revival. We're going to get to hopefully part two of what happened with that great move that happened back in 1904-05.
Wow.
That really reached the whole entire country of Wales. One reporter said that Evan Roberts, a 26-year-old coal miner evangelist, the reporter said that he held Wales in the palm of his hands.
Wow.
He held the whale in the palm of his hands. Over 100,000 people came to the Lord. I mean, it literally transformed the nation, but it did abruptly come to an end. And Rick Joyner writes a book, World on Fire, Lessons We Can Learn from the Welsh Revival. And in this book, he begins to, you know, lay out some of the awesome and amazing things that occurred in Wales during that time. But he also highlights, Pat, some of the lessons that we can learn today from what happened and what caused this revival to come abruptly to an end. It is, according to Rick and some of the stuff that I've read, probably one of the significant revivals that's ever happened, mm-hmm. And has had, you know, tremendous impact. Mm-hmm. From the Wales revival, Azusa Street was impacted in 1906, and Frank Bartman was consistently writing, the leaders of the Azusa Street revival were consistently in communication with Evan Roberts, wanting the revival in America.
Wow.
So we're going to be talking about that and unpacking that, but I want to talk about Israel and a new report a message, rather, that just came from Bibi himself, the prime minister. They have a great way of using technology, if you haven't noticed that already. And if you don't receive Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's feed on Facebook, I encourage you to do so, because this is what he released into the early hours. Now more than ever, you need to speak up for Israel. This is a message entitled "Urgent Message to All the Friends of Israel." Now more than ever, you need to speak up for Israel. Silence is not an option. Every friend of Israel should speak up and not be afraid to do so. Yes, I know it's not popular to stand up for Israel, especially in these times, but so what? All that matters is that you in your heart know that you are right and are on the right side of history. Israel is under attack, and if you are a friend of Israel, then you need to stand up and speak up for your friend. Write articles, letters to newspapers, write on your blog, defend Israel on social media, talk to people all around you. And that's why we're here today, from the very onset of this program and what God has led us to, that there are three foundations to, you know, that we wanted to make sure we're on the forefront of what we're doing. And that's God, number one, country, which is the United States, in that order, that we could, by establishing God's principles back in our hearts again and turning back to God, that maybe he would allow us to hold our nation, and of course Israel. And over the 3,000 or plus highlights that we have on the torch, we're encouraged to say that over 500 to 600 of them, if not more, are Israel related. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack what's happening in the Middle East, and particularly with Israel and their response to Hamas and Gaza, and we're going to get some insight into just what transpired and what this may look like for the future. More when we get right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Does an employer have to respect an employee's religious views? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for a local fire department, and I had made a complaint about the language and the way that the conversations often tend to go in the fire department, that they were vulgar and really not the place for this type of business. And I was told that this was the culture of the fire department. It's more of a boys' club, and that's just how it was going to be. And I was just wondering if there's anything that can be done about that, if you do find that language offensive, or that you feel that it creates a, you know, a hostile work environment to work in.
You know, the hostile work environment issue has been met with mixed results, actually, in the courts. I would say that, you know, you should talk to the management, the supervisors there, see if you can get it resolved that way, rather than a direct head-on-head, you know, legal confrontation in the courtroom.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking.
We got
a
smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh,
right,
he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select Get Your Free Plan Today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams, and it's like, wow,
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So the spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely, definitely speak.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And previously, before we went to break, we were talking about the message that Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, released to all of his friends on Facebook and those that receive his feed, encouraging us, all of us, Christians, everyone, who calls themselves a friend of Israel, to stand up now because Israel's under attack. And right now, they're not only being attacked by Hamas in the Gaza Strip, right, but they're being attacked, in essence, by the media, because what's being reported right now are biased reports all from Gaza and not from Israel. And so they're, you know, all these embedded reporters are hanging out in Gaza and they're saying what Israel is doing, and they haven't been, reporting at large. Some have, but at large, they haven't been reporting what has been happening to Israel. Recently, in the UN has just issued a report asking for a ceasefire. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, really? Isn't it interesting that when Israel defends herself, now there's a call for a ceasefire? My understanding is the president even called Bibi to offer to broker a peace deal. And it's like every single time that Israel defends herself, now there's calls for a ceasefire. But I don't remember hearing a ceasefire from the United Nations, or really, for that matter, anybody else, in terms of Hamas stop firing these rockets into the southern borders of Israel.
Right.
And so this is what is happening, and this is what I believe CBN is reporting. It says, inside the Gaza Strip, Hamas seems to be putting its citizens in harm's way. And this is, you're seeing this repeatedly, where they're putting their citizens on top of buildings, the roofs of their buildings. They're putting their citizens in front of missiles. And it's like, what in the world is happening? You know, Israel's using its missiles to defend their people, and Hamas is using their people to defend their missiles. This is evil,
crazy.
What is happening. It's absolutely evil. Not only is Israel being rocketed daily, But now they have to deal with the fact that how are they going to respond to Hamas, and how are they going to take them out, and with trying to reduce as many civilian deaths as possible. And let me tell you, we've heard about the knock. I mean, Greg's covered this extensively. This is something that Israel is doing. They make phone calls. Mm-hmm. They do sirens. They alert the people in the Gaza Strip, saying, listen, we are getting ready to take out some high-value targets in your area, which is Hamas, and they're right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to ask you to leave because we're about to destroy this place and get rockets and things of that nature.
And what other country in the world would actually do that?
Yeah.
Who
think
does
about that, especially in the Middle East.
And it's amazing, too, looking at this whole conflict back and forth, how so much of how Israel is responding in Israel, like we've talked about it before, how they're being merciful towards the Gaza Strip, and it's just not even being talked about. And it's just like that's that perspective of just like, we've got to just stand with Israel and understand the fact that they're doing everything they can because they want to have peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yet and still, you can't make peace with someone who refuses to want to make peace with you. And so, you know, you have to deal with the enemy. You have to be able to confront them. You have to be willing to stand firm no matter what. And that's one thing about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the leadership there in Israel. They're going to defend Israel, and in fact, he was been able to share some reports, and we're going to talk about that. But one of the things that's been happening is that it's being reported that a drone now has literally flew over into Israel, and it was shot down. This is Fox News that's saying that basically that a downed drone came down on the southern coastline, making it the first time it has encountered such a weapon in its week-long campaign against the Islamic militants in the Gaza Strip. So Israel shot this thing down. The drone came from Gaza, and basically it was shot down by a Patriot surface-to-air missile near the southern city of Ashdod. And so they're stepping up their game. At the same time, what's happening, you know, and we've been saying this for a while, that although the attacks are coming from Gaza, the southern end of Israel, if you will, that they really need to be concerned about what's happening at the top of them with ISIS. But now Lebanon, there were rockets that were fired from Lebanon into Israel for a northern city, into a northern city of Israel. And as well, Syria shot a rocket into Israel and it hit the Golan Heights. It landed in open territory, but now we're seeing things change on the ground, you know, if you will, or in the air, rather. And they're shooting now from different parts that, you know, from the north and from the south. And so we want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to lift Israel up. It seems that they are now looking to put some boots on the ground. But Benjamin Netanyahu basically addressed the world when he came on Fox News Sunday, and he was very clear in what he said. Israel will use any means necessary to stop Islamic militant groups, Hamas, from bombing their civilians. Period.
Rightfully so.
Period. And he laid out some of the things that they're wanting to accomplish. And the main thing is to get rid of what Hamas is trying to do. He's quoted as saying, "We develop missile defense systems to protect our citizens while they use their citizens to protect their missiles."
Yeah.
And this is what makes all the difference.
Yeah.
This is what makes all the difference. And you can't make peace with someone that it wants to make war with you.
Mm-hmm.
So he lays out some objectives. He basically says basically the amount of Israelis that are being affected is a really a high rate compared to what has happened. You know, if you were to take those numbers, it's like a third of the United States running into a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100 million people.
Right.
So it helps us to give some sort of perspective when the apple of God's eye is being defended and why, you know, being attacked, and the importance of us standing right now to defend. When we get back, actually, what we're going to go to, we're going to go to Benjamin Netanyahu. We want to hear his words firsthand as he's reporting and sharing what's been happening and what their goal is in Israel. Watch this.
Benjamin Netanyahu joins us from Jerusalem. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you. Nice to have you with us. Can you tell us how much of your...
Thank you. I wish it could be under other circumstances.
Understood. Can you tell us how much of your mission you have accomplished so far? What the strikes that you have mounted have accomplished so far, in your judgment?
Well, first let me say what the mission is. Our mission is to restore a sustainable quiet, sustainable security to our people by seriously degrading Hamas and other terrorist groups' capabilities in Gaza. I think we're proceeding. It will continue until that goal is achieved.
How much of it is achieved, sir, in your judgment so far?
Well, I'll leave that to the discussions of our inner cabinet and our general staff, but I think the important thing to understand is that we can't enable our population to be under continuous rocket fire. I mean, I just want your viewers to imagine the United States being bombarded, not in one city or two cities, but in every city between New York and Colorado. Maybe 20% of the United States would be exempt from this. 80% of your citizens would have to be in bomb shelters or ready to go into bomb shelters within a minute to a minute and a half max. You can't, no country can accept that. We can't accept that, and we'll take the necessary action to stop it.
There seems to be very little disagreement about that here in this country, Mr. Prime Minister, but obviously there's concern that a conflict like this can have unintended consequences, and people, I think, are wondering whether you are nearer the beginning of this offensive or nearer the end of it. Can you give us an assessment of that?
Well, whether we're at the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning, I'm not going to tell you that right now, because we face a very, very brutal terrorist enemy. I mean, you know, here's the difference between us. We're using missile defense to protect our civilians, and they're using their civilians to protect their missiles. That's basically the difference. They're embedding these rockets that they're firing wholesale into our cities, terrorist rocketing, trying to kill as many as they can. They're not succeeding because of two reasons. One is because we've developed this incredible missile defense system, which I think is a historic development in the history of defensive warfare. With U.S. help, and I want to thank the American people, President Obama, the U.S. Congress for helping us fund this this amazing development. But the other reason we're succeeding, you have to understand, some of the rockets do pierce through this shield. And the reason we're succeeding is also because we're targeting the Rocketeers. The Rocketeers are firing from homes. These homes are actually command posts of the Hamas and Islamic Jihad army. So we're that's where they have their secure communications, weapon caches, rockets, hidden map rooms, and so on. These are their command posts. Obviously, we're not going to give them immunity, and so we have to attack them, and we're trying to minimize as we can civilian casualties. But with this kind of enemy, we'll take whatever necessary means that we need to take. I tell you, Brit, we try surgical action. We're not indiscriminate. It's very tough. There are always going to be civilian casualties, which we regret. But we have to defend our people, and that's what we'll do.
How likely is it that you will need to mount a ground invasion to accomplish the mission you've described?
We'll take the means necessary. You know, if this can be achieved through diplomatic or military means, whatever military means, we'll do what is necessary, what any country would do, what the United States would do, what Britain would do, what France would do, many, many other countries understand this. I've spoken to President Obama and a good number of world leaders, and I think they all understand Israel's inherent right of self-defense, the fact that such attacks are unconscionable, the fact that they're rocketing our cities is something that no country should agree with. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of our operational response. Okay. I assure you that we have an operational response.
Understood. Let me turn to the subject of Iran, which I know is an enormous concern to you, sir. Iran's foreign minister was saying today on another broadcast, quote, "We don't see," said Mohammad Javad Zarif, "any benefit in Iran developing a nuclear weapon." And he went on to say that it's simply not happening and so on. I think I know what your reaction to that would be, but let's hear it from you.
It's a joke. Of course they're developing nuclear weapons. They've invested not billions. You can start counting it in maybe in hundreds of billions of dollars. For what? For creating medical isotopes for Iranian patients circling the Earth? What are they developing ICBMs for, if not for nuclear warheads? What are they developing these, building these enormous underground nuclear facilities, if not for nuclear weapons? If they wanted to have just civilian nuclear energy, they could have it without centrifuges for enrichment, without plutonium, the heavy water. That is, these are only used for nuclear weapons. So this is a sham. I mean, I don't think anybody could take this seriously. I think we have to remember this is the same Iran that is arming, financing, training Hamas and Islamic Jihad. This is the preeminent terrorist empire of our time. Not even a terrorist state. It's a terrorist empire. It's got these terror provinces. You don't want this Iran to have neither nuclear weapons or the capability to make nuclear weapons, to enrich uranium for a nuclear bomb in short order, in a few weeks or a few months. They could do that unless that's changed. I think it's possible to stop them, Britt. I think the important thing is to replicate the Syrian deal where the capability to make the weapons was actually dismantled and removed from the soil of Syria. The same should happen with
We're about, 8 days now from the deadline for the U.S. and its partners to reach a deal with Iran to try to dismantle its nuclear weapons program. The situation looks pretty bleak as of now. Your assessment of that and whether any... you can see the outlines of any deal that would be acceptable to you.
Well, look, Brett, I think that a bad deal is actually worse than no deal. And I can tell you what a bad deal would be, and I'll tell you what a good deal would be. A bad deal would be that Iran gets to keep its enriched nuclear material and the capacity to enrich further to make a bomb and put inspectors there, leave them with the capability and put inspectors there, trust them not to break out. I think that's a terrible deal. A good deal is what was achieved under President Obama, the United States cooperating with Russia in the case of Syria. They didn't tell Assad there, okay, you can keep your chemicals and the means to convert these chemicals into chemical weapons, and we'll inspect them. That's what the Iranians are suggesting.
But that's not what the
deal in Syria was. The deal was you actually dismantle these materials and these capabilities, and you ship them out of Syria.
Got it.
That's a good deal.
How likely?
That deal would be good.
If you can get it, do it.
If you can't get it, don't make a bad deal.
How likely is it, given what you know of the negotiations, that the kind of bad deal you describe may be what emerges here?
I certainly hope that doesn't happen, because I think it would be a catastrophic development. Because, you know, the Middle East is in turmoil. Everything is topsy-turvy. The worst militants, Shiites and Sunni radicals, are vying with each other who will be the king of this Islamist hill. And from there, they'll go on and attack the United States, whom they see as the great Satan. We're, in this case, only your appendage in their eyes. And in a certain sense, they're right. We're part of that same hated civilization of freedom that they despise so much. But if any one of these sides, and in this case the militant Shiites led by Iran, get their hands on nuclear weapons, then all bets are off. I think the Middle East many nations would rush to have their own nuclear weapons here. I think these people who support terrorists would now have a nuclear weapon shield. It would be a disaster for the United States and for everyone else.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you very much, sir.
I hope it doesn't happen. I'm working so it doesn't happen.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Britt. Thank you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And so he's saying, listen, that's the reason why people who struggle, they struggle understanding this, is because they don't have faith in to know Jesus Christ, that this is real. That the presence is real. Somebody says, well, that ain't real. It's like, I'm healed, I'm forgiven, I'm blessed, I'm saved. You're sad. Listen, this is going to be the secret. Let me tell you the secret for what's about to happen. Stop being ashamed of Jesus. Stop being ashamed of the power of God. Stop being ashamed to pray in the Holy Spirit when God gives you the utterance. Be God's son and God's daughter. Isn't it interesting? He says you can talk about anybody you want to. You can say anything you want to. And you can even dog my name out. But if you talk against the Holy Spirit, you may never, ever, ever, ever be forgiven. And how many people attack the Holy Spirit? Ridicule. It's God's Spirit. You're talking about the heart of God. We wouldn't be in the condition that we're in right now if it wasn't for what we're preaching from the podiums or preaching from the microphones. It's the church that sets people free in the power of God. It's us. We're the ones that determines destiny. We're the ones that change the DNA of people's hearts that end up beginning to lead a nation in a different direction. It's Christ and us is the hope of glory. And so then it's the power of God. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. I'm sending you the second counselor. I'm the first counselor. And I'm sending him so that you're going to have power, not just to do whatever, just to be my witness. So I witnessed of me, the Father witnessed of me. You see me, now you be the witness of me, and you go tell somebody about me. You can't talk about somebody you don't even know. You can't talk about somebody you don't even believe in. You got to believe. This is not a fiction. This is real. God created everything that you see in heaven and earth, and he filled every bit of it, and he's the one that holds us together. He designed the very seasons and times that we would live only for one thing, to see if you would reach out and touch him. He's not far from you, but you won't even acknowledge him. Now is your day. I'm sorry for what the church has done, but you're still going to answer alone. By yourself, you can't blame anybody.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And just before we took the break, we were listening to Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Mm-hmm. My goodness, Don't you love this guy?
Man, he's amazing.
He is amazing. And I'll tell you that he knows how to defend his country. He knows how to speak on the behalf of his country. And he wasn't going to be tripped up. I mean, you notice that the interviewer was trying to get him to whether this is the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. We're not going to let you know any about that.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. We're going to accomplish our mission.
We're willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, and his mission basically is, he said, he's going to restore sustainable quiet. But you think about it. I mean, enough is enough. And that's something about Israel, is that they exercise extreme patience when they attack. They attack with compassion. I don't know of any other military that actually does this. And they make sure that when they do something, that it's resolute and that it has a purpose to what they're doing. And he's talking about restoring sustainable quiet to reduce Hamas's structure, infrastructure, and totally take it out. Reports are that they have taken out many of their command posts, which they're basically setting up in homes. I mean, these folks are so evil, and what they try to do is just horrific, making it more difficult, taking advantage of the compassion of the Israeli people, and they're literally throwing their people, just throwing them in front of their missiles as some sort of shield. The Israeli Defense Force and their blog basically just released a video. We'll make sure this is available to you, where the Hamas spokesman has been very vocal during Operation Protective Edge, and basically some of the stuff that he's saying is just ridiculous. He says, "We are leading our people to death." Okay, we're leading our people to death. And he says that the fact is that people are willing to sacrifice themselves against Israeli warplanes. I mean, this is the type of stuff that's happening. And your just heart goes out to the people there in the Gaza Strip that are just, you know, are succumbing to this. You know, we want to be able to reach them with the gospel. And we want to, you know, pray that those folks can be reached. Because when you're under that kind of tyrant leadership, what can you do? You know, just at times you just follow in step and just say, this is what the leadership that's there. And we just pray for brave men and women to be able to stand up and actually start ratting some of these people out. Because I think part of what the strategy is, and I can't confirm this, but it kind of makes sense to me that as Israel is notifying them and saying, hey, listen, you civilians are not our enemies. We're letting you know that we're getting ready to attack, and it's because we found one of your operatives in this neighborhood, that maybe someone would rise up and say, hey, don't send the missile to my house. I'll tell you that he is on C Street here. You know what I mean? Come get him. We'll tell you exactly where he is, and they'll start cooperating with the Israelis. And, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu was very clear in some of the things that he said, and he expressed his appreciation to the president as well as Congress and the American people for our assistance in helping to fund the Iron Dome, which he says has been really imperative to their, you know, to their security.
Survival, yeah.
I mean, the Iron Dome functions is that when a rocket is launched into Israel, they launch a counter attack that destroys a rocket from actually exploding.
Knocks it out of the sky.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. We know that the true Iron Dome is really the hand of God over Israel. And you don't want to mess with the apple of God's eye. Because God will respond and has responded. So we want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to stand up, continue to support ministries like Christians United for Israel, CUFI, and those that are standing up for Israel. Support them, because as you heard from Bibi himself in his urgent message, that, listen, Israel's under attack. And I think this is just the beginning. I mean, the ground troops have been called up. The reserve has been called up, and I think that they're going to go all the way through and kind of finish what needs to be finished here in the Gaza Strip. One report said that once they dealt with Hezbollah in Lebanon, they've pretty much have kept them quiet for several years because they dealt with them in the same way. And sometimes you just got to deal with folks, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to deal with the enemy. I heard once somebody say that you got to hit them on contact. You know, you got to hit that enemy needs to be hit on contact, and you just got to kind of knock the wind out of them and really annihilate them, because they just continue to do evil things. We do have a segment that we want to show you from Prager University. And Prager University has done some really amazing videos and things that they have shared in terms to, you know, in ways of educating the public as to, in particular, what's happening with Israel. And they put something together called Passing the Israel Test. And I want you to see this so that you can see really what's happening. It's amazing what envy and jealousy and the type of strife that envy and jealousy will produce. Watch this.
How do you respond to people who excel you in invention, creativity, and wealth? Do you envy them? Do you feel their success somehow diminishes you? Or do you admire what they've achieved and try to emulate it? These questions sum up what I call the Israel test. In the 1880s, European Jews settled in Mandate, Palestine, and wrought an agricultural miracle in that desolate territory. Then sparsely populated by a few score thousand Jews and a couple hundred thousand Arabs. The Jewish settlers drained malarial swamps, leached salt from the soils, terraced the barren hills, and planted millions of trees. They massively expanded the capacity of the land and enabled it to support a substantial Arab population. In the two decades between 1921 and 1943, Jews quadrupled the number of enterprises, multiplied the number of jobs by a factor of 10, and increased the level of capital investment 100-fold. Far from displacing Arabs, they provided the capital for a major expansion of Arab farms and enabled a sevenfold rise in Arab population by 1948 to a level of 1.35 million, the largest in the long history of Palestine. In other words, the Arabs came to what would soon be the state of Israel because of the Jews. By comparison, Transjordan, now known as Jordan, with the same geological endowment and four times the land, but no Jews, was able to sustain a population density only one-tenth of the population density of Palestine. Crucial to Israel's accomplishments were world-leading technological advances in the recovery of water through desalinization, drip irrigation, and sewage recycling. Over the past 50 years, Israel has increased its population tenfold, its agricultural production 16-fold, and its industrial production 50-fold, while actually reducing net water consumption by 10% since 1948. This huge expansion of effective water resources enabled the land to support not only more Jews, but also millions more Arabs. Today, the state of Israel, with its astonishing achievements in computer science and other high-tech fields, distills both the genius of the Jews and the misdirected anger of the failed states that surround her. The great divide in the Middle East is not between Arab and Jew, but between admiration of achievement, along with the desire to replicate it, and envy accompanied by violent resentment. People who admire success, who pass the Israel test, tend to be wealthy and peaceful. People who resent achievement, who fail the Israel test, tend to become poor and violent. So again, how do you respond to people who excel you in invention, creativity, and wealth? Do you envy them? Do you feel their success somehow diminishes you? Or do you admire what they've achieved and try to emulate it? The Israel test is the central divide in the world today. How you answer it as an individual, and ultimately how we answer it as a nation, is a test of our own will to triumph over enemies who hate us as they hate Israel, for what is best within us. I'm George Gilder, a non-Jew who has passed the Israel test for Prager University.
Join Prager University. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. and sign up for free at PragerU.com.
Wow, absolutely awesome. I'm past the Israel test. Did you pass the Israel test?
Absolutely.
We've passed the Israel test. We want to be encouragers, not haters of Israel. And it's amazing what envy does. The video was awesome in the context that what was shared was that, you know, Jordan is like four times the land size of Israel, yet they couldn't even support not even a tenth of the population. Hmm. And the difference is there are no Jews there. When the blessing is upon you, and when the blessing is upon Jacob, mm-hmm. things happen. And you just look at Israel, what they've been able to do as a nation and how far they've brought their nation mm-hmm. from an arid, dry desert land to producing just so many wonderful things, agriculture and technological.
Right.
How can you say but God?
And that's the amazing thing is that the perspective of Israel that so many have been left out, and it's just like we have been talking about it on our online presence of just like on the torch, just past articles that we've talked about the amazing advances that you're saying with water and how Israel has been able to not only sustain themselves, but they're providing water, and we talked about it in a recent program, of over 110 different countries.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Very people that are shooting rockets into Israel. They had an interview with one of the southern city's mayors, and he says, we provide we provide electricity to them, mm-hmm. and they shoot rockets at us and complain at us.
And they get upset when the power goes out.
Yeah. And
isn't that ridiculous?
That is amazing how merciful they are to the people that attack them, and they continue to provide resources to them.
Amazing. They recycle their sewage water. They don't drink it. What they do, they use it for agriculture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To water their gardens. They took the salt out of the seawater.
Yeah.
This is a place that does not have water.
Right.
I mean, when I went to Israel, they're knocking on my door telling me, hey, listen, we conserve, to tell all the Americans, conserve water. Don't take long showers, basically is what they're trying to say. Mm-hmm. Because they have a shortage of water. And now they're having a surplus. They mm-hmm. could looking to have a surplus of water because of the technology they've invented. The irrigation drip system.
Yep.
It's just amazing. And to me, I was having this conversation. I forgot who I was having this conversation with. I have so many of them these days. But that don't say that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that you can't. Because with God, all things are possible. When you look at how much Israel has been able to do with so little, you can look back and say, man, all things are possible when I just trust God, do things according to the way God says it. Don't count God out. Count God in and watch what he does for you as you honor him. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved, without really letting some time be there. Not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield. Preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And Hmm. I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read the commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about Israel, one of the things we love to talk about, and just to bring an awareness to what's happening with her as we as Christians join together to pray and support her in every which way that we can. You know, continue to go to your blogs and share on Facebook what we're sharing with you on our online presence so that more people can be aware of some of the things that basically are not being covered, you know, in the news media today. They're not given this type of perspective. So we want to encourage you to continue to do that. Stand up and let your voice count, because your voice matters when you stand up and say something for God, country, and, of course, Israel. We're going to be talking about, as we come to the end here of the first hour, about Exodus Cry and this ministry in regards to what they're doing with this Abolition Summit. Abolition Summit 2014 is going to be an awesome conference that they have put together. It's going to be August the 6th through the 8th in Kansas City, Missouri. Do what you can to be there. I mean, we have been talking extensively, sharing on VFN TV, VFN Radio, regarding the plight of over 1 million women and children that are being sold as slaves today across the country and even in the United States. I mean, the World Cup has just finished up, and there has been so much outreach in terms of you know, educating the people in Brazil. I know that Operation Blessing did a documentary. Their goal was to set up 12 houses of prayer to pray for the women and the children there. Over 600 million people visited Brazil for the World Cup. Many, certainly not all, but many people that were visiting Brazil were looking to take advantage of not just watching the World Cup and soccer, but they were looking to exploit women and children that have been taken as victims, helpless.
And the amazing thing is that when you hear a lot of these things that are going on, me, I was personally shocked to realize the significance and the prevalence of how much slavery still exists. And it's just like, we can't just turn a blind eye and say, you know, that doesn't involve me, I've never seen it before, because it is involving many others. And there's a lot of people that are trapped, and it's not a choice. They find themselves in this, and then they fight trying to get out.
And there's other organizations that we've supported. That you'll see them on our online presence at VFNTV.com under Links, which is Underground Railroad. And it's an operation that literally goes to extract. They actually go into these countries and with former Green Berets, you know, military, Navy SEALs.
Ex-SEALs, CIA.
And with government approval, I mean, they legitimately go in there and extract and pull these women and children out. And what we want to do is wrap around these women and children and to help them, you know, get back into society. Not long ago, we shared about a young lady in a young girl in New Jersey who was taken advantage and lied to, and she was being manipulated over the telephone while in her own home, yeah. And her parents had no idea what was going on. And she was basically seduced out of her home, led away, and she was, you know, saved within 48 hours. But even within those first 48 hours, she was already trafficked. Mm. And so we want you to watch from Benjamin Nolet. He is the founder and CEO of Exodus Cry, as he shares a little bit about his heart and about their mission and what they want to accomplish. Watch this.
Early in 2007, I heard a story about a 15-year-old girl who was abducted in front of her very own house and forced into sex slavery. The thought that this could be happening in our modern-day society horrified me. And I gathered with some others and we organized a solemn assembly, a prayer vigil to cry out to God to end this injustice. And the very next day, there was a huge human trafficking bust. And we realized two things. Number one, this is a spiritual issue. And prayer has to be the foundation upon which we combat sex trafficking. The second thing we realized is that we have to put feet to our prayers. That we actually have to do something to bring an end to this injustice. Today, our small efforts to stop sex trafficking have evolved into an organization at Exodus Cry of people working full-time to prevent sex trafficking, intervene where it occurs, restore its victims, and create films exposing this injustice. We are encouraged and inspired every single day to keep fighting for the women and children held captive because God wants to set the captives free.
Amazing. Exodus Cry. Every person should be free. And that's, you know, we're freedom fighters. We are freedom fighters. And, you know, the Lord came to set us free, to break the yoke of bondage and to deliver us. And we need to do our part. And I like what Benji said there, that we needed to put some feet to our prayers.
Amen.
Yes, we can pray. It's the chief thing, the most important thing that we need to do is pray. Mm-hmm. Always first. A lot of times people, you know, want to do something, but they don't have the heart of God. They don't have the wisdom of God. They don't have the artillery of God. And they zealotly, with zeal, go out to do something and they crash and burn. And so all things should start, you know, in prayer and intercession, which is standing in the gap. And then from that place of intercession, from that place of seeking God's heart, God, what do you want to do? God, how do you feel about this? What are your strategies? We talked previously on VFN TV that those who do know their God will do great exploits. But you got to know him, and he has to know you. And the greatest place that you can begin to know God is in the place of prayer. And so we want to encourage you that not to diminish prayer, but to understand, God, what is your heart? Mm-hmm. And God will begin to burden you. He'll begin to shed light. He'll begin to give you divine strategies and wisdoms and things that you can do yourself to be involved. Remember that you can always give yourself in prayer. You can always give of your finances and supporting those that are actually have boots on the ground, if you will, that are already have ministries and organizations and are already activated in this operation. And then, of course, you can actually, if you feel led and called, to give of yourself in this ministry and this rescue mission. Mm-hmm. And so we have several segments that we're going to make sure are highlighted to this, that you can get a good understanding and get some context to what's happening. Listen, if we ignore the plight of people that are being sold today as slavery, I mean, that is evil. We need to have the compassion of God. And so many times, you know, we could be so filled with a narcissistic self-view of our life, of what's happening to me, our next vacation, our job, our children, that we fail to walk around with the compassion of God, to see those that are suffering. And I believe that when you get close to God, when you spend time with Him in prayer, when you have a God consciousness instead of a self-consciousness, then God will begin to share His secrets, like Amos says, with His friends. He will begin to share with you the things that are most burdensome in His heart because He can trust you. And He shares them so that you can dialogue with Him and you can advance His purposes on the earth. Some of the breakout sessions, if I can get my pager for you, some of the breakout sessions in the Abolition Summit is we're going to make sure that they're available for you. I had them up here a second ago, but we'll make sure that they're available for you in terms of what they're going to be covering and what they're going to be sharing. We want to encourage you. It's August the 6th through the 8th in Kansas City, Missouri, and you want to make sure that you're in attendance or at least supporting those that will together through prayer and advancement and putting feet to our prayer. We can actually put an end to human trafficking. We can believe, like Exodus cried, that every person should be free, and we can rescue them from the hands of the evil one. Let's do this together and save those who are being abused. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Auto Docs of Pensacola is where all Sid cars go to get well. ASC and Toyota Master Technicians are at hand, specializing in automotive repair, transmission repair, vehicle maintenance, and so much more. Call and make an appointment for your Sid car today. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles on the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign. Visit Sue today. Oh my goodness! Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern Soul on Highway 29, just one quarter mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right hand side. Come on in and get some. Mark Downey and Associates is a real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to their success is simple: aggressive marketing and an intense passion for serving others. Call Mark Downey's team today. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.